The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network. Human design is a system that offers profound insights into your inner self and how you interact with the world around you. Quantum human design takes that process one step further, allowing you to become the architect of your own reality. Join Dr. Karen Curry for Elevating Your Life Script, a weekend workshop where you transform your life by crafting intentional narratives, May 24th through 26th at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
Live the life you truly want. Experience the Jenna Effect. I'm Vincent Jenna, psychic therapist, medium, and spiritual teacher. Become unstoppable. Learn the secret that's holding you back. Hello, and welcome to the Jenna Effect. I'm your host, Vincent Jenna, psychic therapist, spiritual teacher, medium, and author of The Secret That's Holding You Back. Well, I'm glad to be back again. I have been traveling all over with my family and without my family. So I am here now and doing another podcast for you because you've been asking for it. So what did I want to talk about today? A very favorite subject of mine, which is the ego. That's right. I want to talk about the ego. There are so many things that are being said about the ego. It is just getting a bad break. Even the most spiritual of luminaries and authors are all agreeing with the idea that the ego is getting in the way of our true essence, of being our true soulful selves, our spiritual selves. Well, it's really interesting that they all agree with that, but yours truly doesn't. And sometimes you have to shake things up a bit to really get a truth out there, okay? So what did I want to talk about in regards to the ego? Well, you know what's really interesting? First, I want to talk about their different opinions about the ego. And actually, they're not different. I'm the different one, as I said. So here is the thing that we have to think about. What makes an expert and an expert opinion or philosophy or theory? Well, in many theories, it's researchable, and you're able to get some kind of quantitative results to show that what you are claiming or your hypothesis has some significant backup, has some significant evidence to its truth. But here is the thing about something like the ego. There is no way of researching it, studying it, or attempting to prove it in a scientific, researchable way. So it's all going to be based on philosophical information, as well as, more importantly, common sense. Some common sense. So I want to talk about the common sense practicality about the ego. Common sense. So once again, most of your luminaries say that your ego gets in the way of your spiritual journey, that somehow, some way, it distracts us from the true nature of who we're meant to be. Now, I know Sigmund Freud, let's back up to some historical output about the ego. Actually, it is Sigmund Freud who first quoted the concept and of ego. Otherwise, the word ego is in the Greek and Latin dictionaries, and all it means is I. That's right. The definition of the word ego, or shall I say the translation of the word ego from Greek or Latin, is I. And all it means is it distinguishes me from you, I. And you get to say I. So there's the meaning of the word, is to be able to distinguish between two individuals. It's an essence of who we are. Matter of fact, if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that there's two conflicting messages as to what the word ego means. In Webster's dictionary, it's a healthy sense of your individuality. Now, in American Heritage Dictionary, it also says that it's a healthy sense of your individuality, but it also says an inflated sense, an unhealthy sense of who you are. So how can it be healthy in one aspect and unhealthy in the same breath? So they're even confused. And where did this confusion come from? Well, it actually did come from Sigmund Freud. That's the start of the concept of the psychological aspect of what the ego is. So Sigmund Freud believes there's actually three parts to our self. The ego, which is in the conscious mind, and then the id and the superego, which is in the unconscious mind. Okay? So the id is that part of us which enjoys instantaneous gratification and pleasure. So if it happens immediately and we are drawn to that, that is the id part of ourself that is directing us to that. Now, the superego is that spiritual or soulful part of us that says that it's not necessary to go towards the instant gratification because that may not be beneficial to us. So the superego wants us to choose the more, shall we say, spiritual, more positive, the more productive, the more constructive choices. So the superego picks the good things. The id wants the self-gratification instantaneously, which is not always good. Obviously, things like substances and drugs and alcohol are instant gratification. Sex is definitely an instant gratification. Other things, gambling, things like that aren't always beneficial or productive, though there are some others that are, okay, more productive. The ego, on a daily basis, needs to make a choice based on Freudian philosophy and theory between choosing the id feeling or the superego feeling. So the ego is the moderator or the mediator, whatever you want to call it. It's that part of our conscious mind that gets to choose between the two. Now, that is what Freud says the ego is. However, I disagree with the concept that the ego is what makes the choices. I don't believe in that. In fact, the book that I wrote, The Secret That's Holding You Back, I distinguish that there's other parts of the mind, the environmental made mind, where the negative self feelings are contained. And then the adult made mind is where the defense mechanisms are contained. And I believe that it's the defense mechanisms, it's the adult made mind that actually makes the negative choices for us in order to protect and shield us from the environment made mind that has all of those negative self feelings. Remember those, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not deserving. Right? And so maybe somehow Freud was looking at those two minds as the id and the superego, but they're really not. There wasn't anything positive about either one of those minds because they harbor very negative beliefs and false beliefs. So what does the ego do then? Well, in my research and studies, the ego sits there and just identifies ourselves and helps us to feel good about those good choices that we have made. That's what it does. It's not the part of us. As a matter of fact, the ego doesn't make any choices at all. It is not choosing between the id and the superego. That's the adult-made mind that does those choices. The id and the ego and the superego aren't minds. They aren't the part of us that thinks and makes choices. They're just aspects of the mind that are there to feel. They help us to feel, right? The id helps us to feel the instant gratification pleasures. The superego helps us to feel those spiritual positive choices. And the ego allows us to feel either one, because I believe any of those are happening at different times and sometimes at the same time. So it's not like the ego has its own mind where it goes, what do I want to choose today? What do I want to be? And in actuality, if we want to say anything between the id and the superego, it's that devil and the angel inside of us that you always see that aspect and always picture it as devil and angel on our shoulders, and we get to choose which one we want to listen to, right? Freud is saying that the choice is being influenced by the ego side, right? Which one is going to make me feel good? And I understand the confusion there as to why we might use the ego to make the choice. But again, it is not ego that makes the choice. It's the adult-made mind that makes the choice. It's that part in our unconsciousness that influences our conscious. That is not the ego. The ego is solely in your 1 to 2% of the mind that allows you to feel you, okay? And is it wrong to feel good about you? Well, I say that any aspect that God has or spirit has or that intelligence that helped to create us, remember, we're created in its image and we have those aspects, that those are positive and good aspects. We're the ones that make them into bad things or have created bad aspects, okay? So supposedly, this God force is all loving, all good, all positive, right? At least that's what we're trying to believe in the new thought philosophies. God is good. Therefore, every aspect of God is good. Well, let's examine that then for a moment. Let's examine that. And here's a question to think about. Does God have an ego? Well, that would imply that God has personal feelings. That would also imply, based on the definition that we've given ourselves about ego, that God's ego gets in God's way of feeling its true sense of love and higher consciousness understandings. But is that true? Do we want to say that? How can we say that God is all loving, all good, all perfect, all positive, and yet have negative aspects to itself? So therefore, every aspect that God would have to be good. So again, I ask the question, does God have an ego? Well, let's see. Is there any evidence to that? In fact, there is. So if I can show evidence to prove that God has ego, then and that all aspects of God is good, then that would mean that aspect of ourselves, that same aspect, would be good in us as well. Wouldn't that be true? Isn't that common sense? Right? Sherlock Holmes, deductive reasoning is what he would call it. You know, If A equals B and B equals C, then automatically A equals C as well. So if all aspects of God are good and we have all aspects of God, then that means all aspects that God have within us are also good. So now it's up to me to show whether or not God has ego. And you know what? That's going to be real easy. All we have to do is go to the story of creation. And I don't need to read it word for word. You can do that yourself. Go to the first chapter, the first couple of chapters, as God is creating the universe, as God is creating the earth and the firmament on the earth and the light and the darkness and the sun and the moon and the water and the vegetation and the animals on the earth. What does it keep saying every time God creates something new? Remember that? Let me remind you. And God saw it was good. And God saw it was good. Now, in order for God, it is suggesting, back up a moment, that is suggestions, is suggesting that God took pleasure in what God just created. That God took pleasure in what God just created. What allows God to feel pleasure? Ego. Ego is a sense of self, a natural, healthy sense of self, and therefore a healthy sense of achievements, a healthy sense of doing something good, a healthy sense of appreciating something that you've done. That's what ego is. So therefore, God has ego. And some may argue that, no, Vince, that is just means that God's emotions are good. He saw that was a good thing. What does that have to do with ego? That's what ego does, that God created something. God doesn't say that everybody else created it and saw that it was good. It created it. So let's change the pronouns. I created the firmament, and I created the lands and the seas, and I created the vegetation, and I created all the animals that are on the earth, and I saw it was good. I did a good job. Isn't that what is being said in third person? Just because you change the pronoun doesn't mean that it changes the value, right? So God saw it was good. Therefore, God has to have ego in order for it to appreciate what it just did. That's the purpose of ego. And I say that God and your ego are one, because it's healthy ego we need. All the problems that we have, all the ways that we are acting now that are not constructive, have nothing to do with the ego. In fact, it has to do with the lack of ego. Think about how our egos have been crushed. We are constantly corrected. We were constantly put down. We were constantly criticized for what we did or didn't do. So that is crushing the ego. A narcissist has zilch ego. That's the other problem, is that psychology has connected ego with narcissism, and now everybody thinks that we are slightly narcissistic. A matter of fact, your psychologists have written in journals that every human is slightly narcissistic and wants to feel good about him or herself. We're supposed to feel good about him or herself, but children of a divine, powerful force, a wonderful, magnificent force. We're not supposed to feel good about that. Of course, we're supposed to feel good about that. It's the lack of feeling good that has caused the problems. It is not an enhanced ego that has caused the problems. If we had healthy egos, not only would we believe in ourselves more and love ourselves more, we would love each other more, and we'd be the first to be able to admit and acknowledge and work on our own weaknesses. It is confidence and ego that allows us to say, you know, that's my greatest weakness. I'm going to be able to work on that. I'm going to work on that. I really want to improve that. Ego allows us to say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. A healthy ego. A damaged ego would do everything it can but admit your wrongness because it hurts too much.
Human design is a system that offers profound insights into your inner self and how you interact with the world around you. Quantum human design takes that process one step further, allowing you to become the architect of your own reality. Join Dr. Karen Curry for Elevating Your Life Script, a weekend workshop where you transform your life by crafting intentional narratives, May 24th through 26th at the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Learn more at eomega.org/thrive.
So let's not think of ego as our enemy. Let's think of ego as our gift. A narcissist puts people down because he or she is feeling so low themselves that it's a compensation. It's a complete defense mechanism so that the person can function in life. That's the whole reason, right? In my book, I said the two highest functions of the human brain is to keep us alive, number one, and to protect us in order to keep us alive, right? Yes. And in that protection, if we are thinking we are so low that we are next to garbage, that we have no value at all, we are not going to be able to function with that. So the brain has to actually create a new belief for us. And it does. It makes us believe in these grandiose things about ourselves, in these fabulous things about ourselves, but it mostly makes us believe that everybody else is less than us. Less than us. So it is a damaged ego that causes that. It is not a healthy ego that causes that. It is a damaged ego that causes that. Always remember that. We need to enhance our egos. We need to be able to pat ourselves on the back and let ourselves know that we've done a good job and saw it was good. Everything that we create, everything that causes us to move forward, we're supposed to stop and say, and that was good, because that motivates us to do more. And when we're helping our neighbors and that makes us feel good about ourselves, that's ego that is letting you feel good about yourself. Ego is there so that you can feel good about a good deed you've done. It is not there to motivate you to do a good deed in order to feel good. That's a defense mechanism. That comes from your adult-made mind. It does not come from your ego. Your adult-made mind and your defense mechanisms are in your unconscious mind, which accounts for 95 to 98% of your whole mind. So you're going to tell me that in the 2%, the 2 to 5% of your mind that's conscious, that little itty bitty portion, that part of the iceberg that is sticking up from the ocean, that's the size of the mind that's in your consciousness. That's where your ego is. Every doctor, every psychologist will say, yes, that's in your what your ego is. It's in your conscious mind. So you're going to tell me that the 2 to 5% is what causes your problems. It keeps you from being spiritual. Here's the problem, and here's why the ego has been laid out as the culprit here. Before there was spirituality, the way we know it, the New Age movement, all that ancient wisdom that's come forward, we had religion. We had religion. And in the strong religions, such as Catholicism, we were sinners. And that's the reason why we couldn't do good, because we were sinners. You're human. You're only in psychology. It was you're only human, so you're going to make mistakes. We always had to come up with a reason for being less than or acting less than and feeling less than. Well, you're only human, okay? Or you're a sinner. You're a lowly sinner, right? Okay, so time went on and we didn't like that. We didn't like being put down. Now let's jump all the way forward to the New Age movement. Okay, now they've changed the reason why you can't do good. As a matter of fact, there is a whole passage in A Course of Miracles, a whole chapter devoted to the fact that, yes, are we supposed to be moving in the direction of Christ ideology and walking those steps and doing the way he taught that we can do and we can be and we can think and feel and love? Yes. And are we meant to be like Jesus? Yes. But in that chapter, it specifically says, chances are we're not going to be able to do anything like that because our egos get in the way. All right, we change the sinner part. So instead of thrashing everybody and whipping them, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, now the excuse is gentler, your ego. That's why you have problems today. Your ego gets in the way. You have to release your ego. Let go of your ego. I'm going to ask you all a very simple question. How do you let go of your ego? How do you release it? How do you stop identifying yourself as you? Are you not meant to feel good about anything? Just be like robots, automatons, not appreciate. If you appreciate, does that mean your ego is getting in the way? If you're motivated to do more good work because it really feels good, you're not supposed to feel that way. You're just supposed to do the work. That's what it means to be a child of God, this divine, magnificent being. I don't want to be that child. I want to feel good about what I do. And you know, more importantly, I want to make my neighbor feel good too because it feels so good to me. I want to share that. I've said this a million and one times. Have you ever seen a fabulous movie, really enjoyed it, and right away you're thinking about your friends and family? Oh, my God. Oh, my son would love that. My daughter would love that movie. Oh, my friends, I got to call them up. I know that they would love that. You got to go see this movie. Yes, and when you go, I'll go with you, okay? I just want to go with you. I just had that experience. My friend saw a movie, called us up, told us it was so wonderful, and wanted us to go, but wanted to come with us at the same time. Because not only did they want to enjoy the movie again, they wanted to enjoy us enjoying the movie. That's what a healthy ego does. It feeds you the motivation to make yourself do good, to feel good, and then to do for others too, to feel good again. Is that so terrible? Because that's what God did, and God created man and woman and saw it was good. Yes, and saw it was good. Go, do good. Feed your ego. Allow yourself to feel your goodness, your good choices, because that's the only thing that's going to motivate you to do more good things. Why on earth would you continue acting in a good way, making higher choices, if it isn't because you're getting the reward of feeling good in the life that you are creating? Do you really think that we're supposed to eliminate our feelings and just do good for the hell of doing good? Because somebody said that that's the right thing to do? Who said it was right? Oh, we want to say that God did by giving us the commandments. Why do you think God gave us those commandments? And in actuality, they were just guidances, guiding steps. You know what those commandments are for? I'll call them commandments because that's what we're used to. We're used to calling them commandments. Not only that, we're in a time of Passover, which is when those commandments came to us, right? Why were they given to us? Because all people were acting bad. Well, we constantly keep thinking of God in the Old Testament as this controller and ruler who wanted us to do things its way. Well, in actuality, let's go back to that loving God. Why would a loving God want to give us any kind of guidelines whatsoever? Think about those commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Think about them. Go back to them. Google them if you don't remember them. And realize this. Every one of those commandments, when broken, make us feel bad about ourselves. Yes, everybody has a conscience. Now, it may be hidden and there may be those who don't care, but I'm talking about the average, normal person. Even the negative ones, even criminals feel bad. Matter of fact, if you study criminology, you will find that the way a person becomes a criminal is by having shame. Shame in oneself and one's choices to the point that you become apathetic. I don't care anymore. I'm a piece of crap. So what difference does it make if I shoot somebody, kill somebody? Doesn't matter. That's the point we get at. But we have to build up to that in order for that to happen. But it's the conscience that makes us feel bad about a lower choice. So when you steal from somebody, believe it or not, that conscience will make you feel bad. If you lie, depending upon the type of lie that it is, remember there's white lies. That means there's dark lies. You know, sometimes you lie to protect somebody. Other times you're lying because you're hiding something that you know was not a good thing to do because that makes you feel bad. Killing somebody makes you feel bad. So all of those commandments are to keep you from feeling bad about yourself. Because when you feel bad about yourself, you can't feel your godness. And if you can't feel your godness, you can't feel God. Go back to the movie that I told you about, The Lion King from Disney. That entire story is about our relationship with the God force and what happens when you get caught up in life and the way we disconnected from the God force as Simba disconnected from his father died. That is actually a metaphor as to a message there. So to Simba, his father died because he made bad choices. That's what he was feeling. He was feeling all of this guilt. That kept them separated. And as he grew up and became the adult, then finally the spirit of Mufasa comes to him and says the most important thing. You have forgotten who I am because you've forgotten who you are. You forgot that you're the one true king. You forgot that you are divine. You forgot that you are magnificent. And because you forgot you were magnificent and you're feeling guilty and you're feeling bad about yourself, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten our relationship. You have forgotten who you are and your place and your life and your magnificence and your divinity. Ego and healthy ego reminds you and allows you to feel your divinity and your magnificence. So go, enhance your ego, build your ego up, do things that make you feel good and allow yourself to feel good about those good things. Make good choices for yourself so that you can feel good about what you've done. Hurting another person doesn't make you feel good. Turning around and saying, I don't care about you, doesn't make you feel good. Love, compassion, caring, kindness, that makes you feel good. Every God quality makes you feel good about yourself. That's the whole purpose of understanding the God qualities, not just so that we can act in that way, but so that we can feel in that way. So again, see that it is good because God did, and God and your ego are one. I'm Vincent Jenna, your psychic therapist, medium, spiritual teacher, and author. Go get my book, The Secret That's Holding You Back, and learn to heal yourself and your ego. And I'll see you again back here, and we'll talk more about these deep subjects. So join me again on The Jenna Effect. Take care for now, and God bless. It already has.
Life is hard, and sometimes you need a little help and guidance. I'm Laura West, host of a Guided Life podcast, and I believe that help is all around us. We just have to ask for it. The universe has a way of guiding us forward with the help of our past loved ones, angels, spirit guides, and ascended masters. On the podcast, I love to explore these ideas with incredible guests and let people know that they are never alone. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you can join me on this journey. Part of the mindbodyspirit.fm network and wherever you get your podcasts.